Welcome to Builds with Blocks, a show centered around the micro action figures and brick-based construction sets of the Halo universe. I am your host today, Tom Fishenden, back by popular demand after my hosting debut last time, and I am joined by Colin Perkins.
I'm getting ousted. It's a coup.
Oh boy.
And Matt Salvatore.
How's it going, guys?
Cool. So today we have got a few different things to discuss. Obviously, Halo Infinite has been delayed by 2021, or until 2021. So will that have an impact on the Mega Constructs line? Is it likely that we're going to see a delay, or a set's going to keep coming out? All of that kind of stuff. We have got our hands on some more Halo Infinite sets, and even I in the UK have managed to get some at last, which is very exciting. We are going to give our impressions on the new blind bag series as well, and just do our general kind of blocky stuff that we usually do. So, before we get into the main topic of the show today, let's chat about what we've been up to on the block front. So, Colin, what have you been building?
Yeah, I've been building a few things we're going to be talking about today, so that'll be a fun conversation. I did build my energy sword, which
nice.
Was a pretty rad experience, and having it on the shelf, it's a beautiful thing. So we'll get into more on that later. What's the set actually called? Is it called Forerunner Installation? Like the partial ring?
Something funky like that.
As well. So that we'll have some things to say about that. We'll cover on that. I built my skiff.
Nice.
Finally, we didn't cover that in the first show, so I have that built. And so those are the three things that I built. I did track down a Spartan Customizer 3 for a decent price.
Nice.
So that
yeah.
is the, you know, the purple and the green Spartans in there. So that's good. I finally have that in my collection. Just to have, you know, I won't do a ton with it, but it'll be a nice, you know, one of those boxes have been checked. Actually, I did buy two, so I opened one, and the other one's going to stay put for a little bit.
Nice.
What else did I do? Oh, well, I did get my hands on the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, thanks to
nice.
Co-host Matthew. He saved me. I wasn't able to get in on the original scramble. I blame the fact that I was live streaming my Infinite impressions.
Christopher, it's all your fault.
And then the robots got me. So I do have one. Thank you again, Matt. So we'll be talking about that
Not
as
a problem,
well.
Man.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome. And then I tried to hunt a little bit just for new stuff that's out there. I still have my eyes out for the helmet from the new line. I really want to get that for my shelf as well. Haven't been able to find that yet. Doesn't seem like I don't think anybody else has found that yet either. And then I'm still on the hunt for I just want to find a Predator because I heard that Walmart's doing another clearance and they're just getting rid of all their Mega for like a dollar each, or at least those heroes for a dollar. So I haven't been able to, most of the Walmarts by me, one of them closed a while ago. And then the other ones, they just don't have anything. So Walmart's kind of running dry these days. But, you know, I'll still pop in when I can. And then I just haven't been to a Dollar General. The one that I was in my neighbor, or at least the one that I frequented, was right by work. And since I'm working from home right now, I just don't go there at all. There's another one I need to check out. So hopefully I'll do that soon just to see if they have any of those smaller sets that they have exclusively.
Cool. No, it sounds like you've been tracking down a lot of different bits and pieces then and kind of building a lot of stuff. So that sounds like it's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Matt, talk to us about your Halo Infinite stop motions, dude. What's been going on there?
Amazing.
The Halo Infinite hype train has left the station. So since our last episode, I've been able to grab a bevy of the Halo Infinite set. So I was able to grab the AA gun, the Warthog, the Skiff, the Ring, the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, and the Building Blocks set. So I've had quite an influx of all sorts of Mega Construct figures, and so I really got into the Infinite feel and vibe, so I decided to build a mock of Zeta Halo where the AA gun sits. So I built that, and I was just building it for myself, and I actually just kind of built it just for fun. And then Tom goes, oh, you got to make a video of it. So I'm like, okay. So I made a video of it, and then I'm like, you know, in order to make the video of it, I changed up my setup a little bit, and I go, you know, this would really make an awesome stop motion kind of setup. So I ended up doing a couple of little stop motions with it, and I got to say thank you to everybody out there who's been super kind and just really, really positive about the videos there. It means a lot to me that you guys like it.
That's great.
You've been killing it, dude. I mean, the way that my favorite thing is the way that you do your lighting effects, like the energy swords or the muzzle flashes, just looks so freaking cool. And you've actually got me thinking about maybe picking up like a high intensity torch or something that I can use when I'm out in my garden to try and get similar effects. Because the way you've been doing it, I think you said it's your phone, isn't it?
No, actually, I just use some flashlights, and I have them off to the side. And usually the cool thing about those translucent pieces is they kind of capture the light really nicely. I usually just kind of shine it. And I've always been like on the lookout for like maybe a laser pointer that would actually work a little better. But that's what I usually do. So like the energy sword is basically I'm just holding a light off to the side, shining it through. It's a light that allows you to higher or lower the intensity of it, so you can so it doesn't like blow it out. But definitely I love doing the lighting effects on that. I have to say probably my favorite thing to do now is the grapple shot. I was down on the grapple shot in our last episode. I'm like, it doesn't make sense, and then I like put it into the stop motion atmosphere, and I'm like, it saves me so much time. I don't have to make someone walk over here. I'm just like, grapple shot, boom. And then I'm done.
So anybody else done grapple shot animations yet? I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't scoured the web.
I haven't seen a whole lot of infinite stop motion yet.
Yeah.
So I look forward to seeing how others do the grapple shot.
But yeah.
Mine's pretty simplistic. Usually what I'm using right now is actually it's like a antenna.
Yeah.
It's one of the harder antennas that they originally had. So I'm able to actually lift the character with just the antenna, so I don't have to use any clear pieces underneath. So it's not even a cord, it's just a hard, thinner piece, which actually kind of looks more like the cable. But so yeah, that's kind of I've had a change of heart on the grapple shot. It's now awesome.
Cool.
That's good.
Have you got any more plans for any future stop motions? Because I know you've been cranking them out like crazy at the moment, so any more?
I got one in the can right now. Cool. I'm probably going to release it probably before this episode gets released. I'll probably do a bunch more. I feel like just kind of with this mock, it's kind of like my Halo Infinite. I got like a 10-year plan with this mock. I don't see it. most of the time when I do a stop motion, what takes me so long is I build the set, and I have to make sure that the set allows for the figures to kind of work with the camera. So having this set already done and just being able to just drop in saves me a lot of time. So it's like my 10-year plan of Halo. So it probably won't be gone for a while. So you'll probably see like 80 different stop motions on this one little sloth of Halo, and you'll get sick of it. Like, get off this part of the ring already.
Just
man.
Remember though that Zeta Halo does it, like, reconfigures itself. So like lore wise, you're good if you decide to make a couple changes here and there.
Yeah, I wanted to do, Tom mentioned it, I wanted to add like a UNSC base.
Oh dude, yes.
So hopefully I'm gonna use the building block set.
I am so happy you just said that. Yes.
The UNSC Firebase set a while ago, and I'm gonna see if I can just kind of jam that into the set.
Yeah.
Love it.
That'd be so cool. Maybe like this is me just going off the rails here, but I could see it being do you remember which one was it? Oh, I don't think that this version of Firebase showed up in Squad 45 actually. I think this was the original prototype. The original prototype Firebase had like a mountain at the back of it. So were able to press it up against the massive mountain wall that you've got on the mog, that would look so cool.
Yep. Oh, that is a good idea.
There we go. That's our show done, guys. That's what we came together for.
All right, guys. I'm popping off the pod. I'm going to go start building. All right, have a good one.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that when you get it done, Matt. I think it's going to be really cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, obviously, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Halo Infinite has been delayed.
Oh. You missed yourself.
I'm not important.
You've been
Colin.
Doing.
Oh, yeah.
So, for me, I was very, very excited. I had a big package of Jurassic World and Mega Construct stuff arrive from my friend in Illinois. And
nice.
I got, in terms of broader Mega Construct stuff, I got three of the latest Call of Duty heroes, including General Shepard, who is the figure who I mentioned in the last episode as being the only other one with a full camouflage print on his outfit, and right. his is actually really, really cool. So I might try and dip it in with some Marines at some point to see what it looks like. But then beyond that, the main thing that I kind of got for the Halo front was the Recon, the Mark 7, and the gun. Oh no, I'm gonna muck it up. Oh, how do I say it?
Gungnir.
You went to go the way I was gonna go there, don't worry.
Gungnir.
Two you got of it. The Marine Sniper.
Oh, nice.
Which has really grown on me. And also the Master Chief versus Brute Warrior 2-pack.
Nice.
So obviously not as much as you guys have been getting, but I was able to kind of get all of that stuff, which has been cool. And since our last episode, I also got the Mongoose set because it popped back up on Amazon. So I was able to pick that up as well. And I literally Excellent. Just ordered a second one before the show as we were talking and you guys encouraged me into it.
Yeah, we're enablers.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get that. But I've just been doing my usual thing. I've been doing a lot of toy photography. And it's been quite fun, actually, because having new weapons like the Bulldog, it's been really fun thinking of ways to kind of get creative angles that show those weapons the best, as well as mm-hmm. the figures. So I would say...
I love the Bulldog.
Yeah, it's a really nice piece. I would say, broadly speaking, my photography tends to be mainly figure-centric anyway. So it's been quite nice kind of finding ways to communicate these new figures, and I've got mm-hmm. one shot that I'm really happy with that I think I showed you guys, which is like the Recon, the Gunnier, and the Mark 7, like all stood together, and I titled that something like New Iteration or something, like to think about obviously new armor in mm-hmm. Halo Infinite. And it's just been kind of a blast riding the hype train, very much like you have with Stop Motion, Matt.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking that inspiration from the trailer, taking kind of the themes that were in that gameplay mm-hmm. and experimenting with how I can communicate it through my photography. So it's been yeah. a lot of fun.
It's nice that they are doing a mix of the, I guess, the old armor variations
yeah.
too, because, you know, if you haven't been able to accumulate new stuff, you can use a lot of the older sets and you're good to go. Like from if you're trying to portray an infinite setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff I've been trying to go for. So yeah, I've got plans in the work for some other photos as well, which will be quite fun when they're done. And I will say I have just dug my Halo Wars 2 Marines back out of my firebase. So there may be some Halo Wars 2 photos coming at some point.
I love that. Something I should have mentioned is that we are on the tail end of our journey with Halo Wars 2 on Mission Beam.
Yeah.
And we published recently one of the best, in my opinion. I'll just go with the best opinion.
Okay.
The best cutscene in all of Halo is the one from the when Isabel is, like
yep.
cuts the Enduring Conviction in half
yeah.
using
yeah.
the Sentinels. Ah, it's so Dude. Good. It's like 6 minutes long. It's amazing.
That fight scene, yeah, with Jerome with the Brutes.
Jerome.
Yes. Oh my
mm-hmm.
God, right. That scene, that there is one shot in that has inspired a few of my recent photos, as you have been able to tell. That scene where it's just dark and his headlights come on and mm-hmm. his helmet's just like highlighted as he pumps the shotgun, that gets me every time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it is very good. Yeah. And when we were talking about it on Mission Debrief, not to spend too much time on it, but the lights flicker in the cutscene, but
yeah.
that's just an effect of the cutscene. Like if you were there real time, the lights shouldn't have been flickering. It was just yeah. to add dramatic effect to it. Anyway, that was just a something that David pointed out. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. There's no like single light. We're not interrogating anybody, and this light is like swinging back and forth and turning on and off. There's no strobe in the Enduring Conviction.
Has a Batman effect to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway. Awesome cutscene. If you haven't seen that or played that game, you should definitely fire that up.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So on the subject of video games, we will go on to the topic that I was clearly very eager to dive into,
yeah.
which is the fact that Halo Infinite has been delayed until 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with you this time, Matt. What are your thoughts on this?
I am deeply saddened. I was so excited when I know a lot of projects were getting pushed back, a lot of movies, and Halo seemed to hold to that position and hold to their release date. And I'm like, great, you know, we're gonna have Halo, but obviously it got pushed back. So my thoughts are I am really sad, but I do want this to be 343's game that they put out, not because of their rush, but because they feel it's ready. So
yeah,
I want a game that 343 is confident, is polished, and is ready to go. So I want to see a finished product before anything else. So I am sad that it's pushed back, but I am very happy that 343 is going to have the time to complete their thing, because I think haste makes waste. So I'm happy to see that they're going to take a little more time to make sure that this game is the game that they want us to, you know, want us to play.
No, cool. Colin, would you kind of echo that similar sentiment?
Yeah, for the most part. I'm bummed. I'm bummed for everybody involved, you know, all the fans that want it, you know, and obviously, you know, the Xbox team and Phil Spencer and Bonnie Ross and like the whole 343 team that's been working on it for so long. Just realizing that, you know, the working remote thing is just, it's been too tough, I think. And, you know, maybe there's other reasons, but that's the one that they stated, and I believe that, you know, I can't imagine it's has gone as smoothly as they would have hoped.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe they realized early on, it's like, this is not going to work, and they were trying, and it just didn't work out. So you know, I'm just bummed for everybody involved, and I'm one of those I guess optimists that thought this game was going to come out in 2018 because of the 3-year development cycle. So like, I'm just like, I need this game.
It's been
pushed back, yeah. So you know, on one hand, I'm used to waiting, I guess, but yeah, I mean, I know they're gonna knock it out of the park, you know, I have no doubts. So give them the extra time to finish it. That makes sense. Everybody's got families and lives, and they need to, you know, not kill themselves over making this game. So
definitely.
It makes sense. And you know, the Mega Construct people, like, that throws a huge wrench into all their plans too.
Yeah, and that's something
That's probably the biggest thing that's going to affect us.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, this is going off tangent a little bit, but I just had a brainwave while you were talking there, Colin. You could still keep doing Mission Debrief, because do you know what you could do? Spartan Assault and Spartan Strike.
They already
did that already.
Oh my god.
Yeah, wow. we have wrung the games dry. We have gone through every game.
Tom, you can't hear this, but I'm shaking my head at you. You should know this, man. Don't you listen to shows.
I do, yeah, but... Oh, my God. I didn't even realize you'd done it. I've listened to the Halo 3.
Well, we just did just two quick shows, I think. We might have done three on each one. Yeah.
They were good, though. I really appreciated you guys' comments on it. I think I had that same kind of opinion that you guys did, that these games are actually really fun.
Yeah. When you go back to them and you kind of appreciate what they're about, you know, you could see what they were going for. So yeah, we are, and we did Fireteam Raven. Like, we are all out of games now when we finish Halo Wars 2. We'll come up with something fun for the channel. So we have some ideas in mind.
I have some homework now. Maybe we can do Tom reacts to Mission Debrief.
There you go.
No, that's cool. I'm actually glad that there's more stuff for me to go and listen back to, because like I was saying, I really enjoy the debrief stuff, because for me it's kind of a case of I just play a game and then I'll go away and like read up on stuff, but sometimes it's nice to get that sort of like insight step by step with it as well.
Well, it's good for me, because, and one of the reasons, just selfishly, is that I have such a hard time paying attention to story and playing the game at the same time, and I mention it like almost every episode. So if I'm like forced to study and like figure out what's going on each mission, I just absorb it way better. Now I feel like I have all this, you know, so many more of the dots have been connected just because I've been, you know, going through this with the team. So it's been good.
I was going to say, I was about to gush about the Sadie episode, because I really enjoyed that, because I never knew about that. But I realized this isn't the show for it. So Matt, go ahead.
I was going to say that I'll let you guys in on a secret, but Mission Debrief is my favorite Evolve show.
Well, that makes two of us.
Yes, I love to hear that. Just don't tell Oren, he doesn't listen to this anyway.
Is this actually why you hired us both for this show?
Just to feel good about myself.
Cool, okay, so you know. Moving on. So obviously the Infinite Delay is going to have an impact on the Mega Constructs line. In terms of the current availability. Jan has been quite honest in community updates recently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the last one came out last week where he said that sets haven't actually been hitting production at the rate they would like to, probably as, again, a side effect of COVID. I mean, I imagine the factories aren't running at the same capacity that they usually would. So that does mean that some products have been rolling out slightly slower. So if you haven't been seeing products, don't worry yet. They will be coming here in the UK. Smiths, Amazon UK, and a couple of other places are stocking them. Obviously, you guys, they're all over the place in America. Toys R Us and Walmart in Canada, amongst other places. So they are slowly rolling out, but don't worry if you don't see things at the moment. And what this delay will probably mean is that these sets, once they are on shelves, will be on shelves for a little bit longer, I would say. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
So I think he's made one of the most recent posts I found of him in the forums was made on Monday, August 17th. And he says, as stated elsewhere, maybe one of you guys can find the original post, but he just says, there are no delays for the 2020 line, which is already well into production and or in stores at this point. So production, to your point, might be a little bit different from like this. The question he's responding to is the delay of Infinite. Is that going to have a big impact? So, and then he says, We may have to make slight adjustments to our plans for 2021. He says slight adjustments, but for the most part, we're moving forward as planned. In terms of where we are in development, our design team is wrapping up 2021 and starting to focus on 2022. So, and he talked about how far ahead, you know, they're planning on the lines and things like that. So I would imagine they'll have to make a little bit of an adjustment, but he doesn't seem, you know, based off what he's saying, that it's not going to set us back, or maybe, you know, hopefully there's not a bunch of canceled sets. You know, he seems optimistic about how they're responding to it,
which is good. And I do just want to say, and I know we've had him on the show already recently, but if you're not on the forums or anything, do head over there, because Jan has actually been doing a really, really good job recently at trying to kind of get communications out there a little bit more. And I would say, I know that you guys might be frustrated sometimes, because I know it's very, very easy to fall into that trap. I mean, I'd be the first guy to say that back in 2015, when Halo sets suddenly stopped showing up at Toys R Us, I'm sure that Mega got a couple of messages from me that weren't particularly great. but just remember that it is people at the end of these accounts. So do think about that when you're having those interactions on the forums. These are people just doing a job, you know?
And most likely, you will get a Halo Infinite set before Halo Infinite comes out. So
yes.
I mean, there's that.
You may even get one in the Legendary Edition. Who knows? Okay, so moving on, we are now going to talk very, very briefly about our first impressions on the new Blind Bag series. So this is Series 12. It is the Halo Infinite series, and it will probably be coming out later this fall alongside products like the kind of army builders, the customizer packs, and the Master Chief helmet. So Colin, we'll go to you first on this one. What are your thoughts on the series?
You know, I'm happy with I'm happy with half of it probably. You know, I would have liked to see a little bit more Banished in here, or some more enemies. I feel like a lot of the recent sets, or the series, Blind Bag series, have only just one or two enemies. You know, opponents, Banished, Covenant, what have you. But they're also in a little bit of a tough spot, because I do feel like they've consolidated a lot. Like, I think the earlier Blind Bag series, there are a lot more figures included. So they seem like they've narrowed that a little bit. Yeah. And then there's two translucents. So we have the Pilot, which I'm a fan of. I've some of the reactions I've read from other people don't like that they included the translucent Pilot, but really? I'm all about that. I think it's cool. And then there's also it must be an active camo Spartan. Is it a Chief? Is that what the other?
I think it's a Chief, yeah.
Okay, so active camo Chief. And how long has it been since we've gotten one of those? It's been a bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the last kind of semi-transparent Chief was the Overshield one, so it's been quite a while before we've had like a
Overshield really clear one.
You know, I like the fact that we're getting the new Marines, because they've been putting a Marine in the majority of the recent Blind Bag series, so that's something that you can you can mass over time. And then the Pelican, I think, is cute. You know, I mean, I wish they would have gone, they would have stayed with the ship
theme.
But at the same time, like, this is also a tie-in to the, you know, the Halo Infinite and the pilot and the Pelican. So I get that. I mean, I love the fact that they're including a buildable vehicle. I mean, I love those things. You know, we've talked about it in the past. Now we have three ships, and I think they're super rad.
So, I have three as well.
Yeah, you do. That's right. So I'm glad that they're gonna continue to do that, because it must be have been received well. But right. I would prefer a ship, but you know, maybe that would have been a spoiler or something else like that. So it makes sense that they gave us a little Pelican there.
Yeah, cool. Matt, what about you, mate?
I actually like the line quite a bit.
Cool.
I appreciate that we got another Marine, because I absolutely love these Marines. So
yeah,
anytime you're able to snag another one, that's pretty good. I think the second favorite figure I have in this line is probably the Grunt. I love the orange on that Grunt. So I'm super happy with, and I would say that's the, what would you say, that's the Halo 4 design Grunt with the canister in the back.
The Grunt Imperial. Yeah.
So I'm a happy, pretty hyped about that one. The Gungnir is yellow. So again, I'm not a huge fan of the yellow.
It looks like it's a little toned down though. It's not as bright as the yellow.
Yeah, it's not
seen.
Blinded by the Mark V yellow.
That's probably my favorite figure as I look through this compilation. Yeah, I think that Gungnir is pretty rad.
Oh, I thought you meant that Mark V then.
Oh, jeez. The Mark V. I actually like that we're getting some invisible figures. I think that's kind of neat that they have an invisible pilot. I wonder if that means that the pilot's going to go invisible in Halo Infinite. I doubt.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of neat. Yep. It would be kind of neat if he had like a
spoilers.
Invisibility, so that he could like hide if like the enemies are coming after him. That would be a really good way to have him with you in the cutscene, but then not have to always fight all the bad guys. Like Chief goes, "Oh, you go hide and turn invisible."
I love that idea.
So he's always with you though. And then if you look at the energy sword for the Elite, we're going back to the newer design. If I'm not mistaken. It looks like the newer energy sword. So I kind of like that we're getting a mix of the old, a little with the new. And it kind of seems like Infinite, the Mega Construct sets are this kind of blend of past Halo design. So I'm happy about that. Cool. Yeah. And then the Pelican. Yeah, I totally agree. I'd rather have had a ship. But I think the Pelican ties in a lot more with Infinite. So I think they're kind of going with that. Mm-hmm. But
The ship looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's well designed for a little micro ship. So. I haven't acquired. Have they done a Pelican? I know they did the Micro series before. I don't know if they've done a Pelican.
I don't.
Not that I recall. I know they've done a Warthog and like a Hornet.
They may have. They may have.
There was one in the Builder's Forge set.
Oh, okay. Oh. I'll have to go look at those instructions. I haven't broke mine out yet.
Cool. Well, yeah. I mean, I like the series. I think it's kind of clear at this point with the previous shows we've done and the kind of ideas that I always come out with for sets that I'm more of an army builder guy than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the Mark VII and the Gungnir are never really going to appeal to me. But with that said, I think that they do both look really nice. I like that obviously we've got the Carbine and the Brute Shot respectively with them. I think Active Camo Chief will be useful. I agree with Matt that the Grunt Imperial is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the plasma grenades have got the same marbling effect that the shields that the Jackals in Warthog Rally have.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that looks really nice. The Elite is actually more purple than you see here. Here it looks like the one in the Mongoose, but it is a bit different, which is cool. The Marine, again, really good to get one of them in the series. I'm happy that it comes with the MA-40, purely because a lot of the Marines have kind of come with SMGs or shotguns, so it's cool to see the MA-40 here. I am a little bit gutted that the knee pads aren't painted, like I said in our chat,
but
at the end of the day, it is a small detail. It's just a shame when you compare it to some of the other Marines that we've got, but I do appreciate that obviously this is the cheapest option and the cheapest way to get them.
Talk to Gabe. I'm sure he's got a great way to paint those.
I'll just use a black Sharpie, Matt.
Exactly.
He's probably got a more sophisticated way than a black Sharpie. But
I heard Citadel paint is the way to go.
That's it. Shout out to Gabe, by the way.
Yeah, shout out, Gabe. I'm not particularly bothered about the Pelican like you guys. I get why they've done it because it's a key part of the game, but it is what it is. But I do like the pilot hologram.
Mm-hmm.
Purely because I have this image in my head now And I might try and make it, if I get enough of them, where, because this doesn't necessarily have to be the pilot, and his beard won't necessarily show up that well in transparent blue, you could do a kind of scene where Captain Lasky or somebody is just briefing a group of pilots before a mission, and they're all there in holograms because they're already in their ships. I think a scene like that would be really cool. So kind of picturing that and creating something like that with this would be really awesome. So I always like holographic figures because they just open up possibilities. And I'd really like to get Cutter at some point, actually, because he's quite a cool hologram.
I have a Cutter. Talk to me.
Hello there. You're right. When I first looked at this, I thought it was an invisible pilot. But no, you're right. It's a hologram pilot. So there goes my whole theory about the pilot hiding from...
Yeah. I mean, Matt, I didn't want to say, but...
I'm cutting that all out. It's just gone.
This is where you don't give Matt editing power.
Yeah, I just cut out all my mistakes. So every time you hear me say Gungnir, it's after I've tried to pronounce it like 8 different times.
Only 8? Matt, today was like 20. Oh.
Maybe because we're getting a hologram pilot, maybe we're going to get some scene in Infinite where Chief is talking to the...
Yep.
To the pilot, similar to the way he was,
yeah,
you know, viewing the hologram of his
wife. Yeah,
his
there
wife.
We go. We'll just bring it all back around.
I'm going to tell you a plan I have for a picture, and I swear to God, if anyone listening out there steals this, I will find you, I will hunt you down, and I will block you. So, because I've got a few of the civilian figures, like Star Trek figures, for example,
mm-hmm.
I actually might do a photo of the pilot hologram next to his wife and his kid, so it's like that message scene, but it's him talking back to them before it cuts off.
Yeah, I like that. Oh man, I
think that would be quite emotional. So yeah, I mean, that just shows already, I mean, I've looked at this for a couple of seconds and I've got ideas. People will find a way to use this figure, and I think that's what's cool.
Brilliant.
So overall, I would say that this series is solid. What would you guys give it out of 10?
Oh, I don't think we can rate it until we have it in our hands, to be honest. I mean, first impressions, okay. I think it looks like a solid series. Again, cool. I already gave my critiques. So yeah, I think we have to give it in our hands before we could rate it.
Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, so we are rapidly moving on here. We are 35 minutes in and we haven't even hit the main topic yet. So,
oh man.
I think it is time that we jump in. So new sets. This section will mainly be Colin and Matt, since obviously I haven't got too many.
You have some new ones, though. Why don't you give your impressions on the stuff you have, quick?
Yeah, okay. So the heroes, really, really good. The recon, colours look a lot better in person. The assault rifle's gorgeous. Gungnir looks cool. I like the robotic arm, and I like the mangler. I like the paint apps on the chamber and the removable chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 7... The bulldog is beautiful. This figure is able to get in some really good poses. Like, the joints feel really well worked out on this. Like Matt was saying about the new Chief as well, where you can get it in some proper, like,
for sure,
weapon shouldered poses that look really tactical.
Yeah.
The Marine Sniper, arguably the most accessories I have ever seen in a Heroes figure. So much stuff packed into the package, especially if you get it at $1 at Walmart right now. You are getting a steal. Yeah. The painted COD leg strap, something that they've never done before. Really, really nice. And then the 2-pack, the helmet looks good. The sniper rifle's got some nice paint apps. And actually, although I initially thought the BDUs looked a little bit sloppy in the kind of preview pictures, when you get them in hand, they are painted incredibly well, to the point where they literally go up to the top of the thigh, so there's like no gappage or anything, mm-hmm. and it just works really, really well. And even like the shoulder plates and the torso armor has got a lot of mm-hmm. highlight paint on it, so it's like brown and green. It feels like a figure that's a step above what we normally get, so I'm really, really impressed with it. And then lastly, the Brute versus Chief pack. Really like this version of Chief. Didn't think I would, but actually it's a lot closer to the Warthog figure, just with kind of some weathering. The painted weapons are really, really nice for Chief. I like the new kind of like what we're assuming is a brute shotty railgun thing.
Did you see that it's featured in one of the pack outs, the combat packs? with like a blue flame.
Yes, and it has
flame.
An electric firing feature. Yeah.
Yeah. No, not the imagery, like the actual accessory.
No, I know. It's like the blue painted.
Yeah, it looks like a flamethrower.
Fire. Yeah, the fire.
A plasma flamethrower.
So.
It could be. It could be.
Confirmed. Yes. Exclusive.
Oh my god. I don't like the sidekick here. I think it's too small compared to what it looks like in game. But I feel like Mega have just made a more generic pistol here because I know that it comes in the Predator set as well. In terms of the Brute, this is hands down the best Brute figure I have in my collection yet. This even dwarfs Tartarus. It just looks so detailed. The gravity hammer has got a lot of paint on it. The mangler it comes with is cool. And the fact that the figure has got like so much paint on its robes and also has got rivets in the shoulder armor printed is just incredible. In terms of single figures and two packs this wave, they absolutely smashed it. There is so much detail and so much value for money there. Yeah, so that's me done talking, guys. You're not going to hear from me again today now. and with that said, since last episode, Matt, you have now picked up Defense Point Showdown, obviously, because it's been in your stop motions. So what do you think of that set?
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I have to say, Hyperius is probably my favorite figure in this entire line. There's like a color application to his armor that I want to say it's almost like obsidian. It's such a unique color. I just love the way it looks on the figure. I love that we have Locke's helmet smashed onto the side of that shoulder pad. Sorry, Jameson. but he's an excellent figure. I'm really, really impressed with him. The cannon itself works great. The only thing I'll say is that when you lift it up, Colin mentioned this on our last episode, the legs go down. So it's there to allow for different heights and levels on each leg where each leg is standing. But it's a little hard when you're stop motioning because there's no real way to lock the legs in. So if you look, some of the times the legs are moving. So I'm a little disappointed that it moves a little too much for me. But other than that, I love the color. The figures are great. Chief is actually kind of interesting. He's got the little sand color Chief. So I actually kind of like that. A little bit of variations within all of our army of Chief that we're getting. But no, I love it. Good set. I'm very impressed with it. I wonder if Mongoose are going to play a huge role in Infinite just because of the expansive nature of it. If maybe you're constantly taking a Mongoose places.
It'd be cool if you could customize one and maybe put like a satchel bag or something on the side of it with different attachments and that kind of stuff.
I'm going to throw it really quickly back to Mission Debrief, but we just got to the part where you get a Jackrabbit in Halo Wars 2, and there's no Mongoose in that entire game.
What? Nope.
There's a Jackrabbit.
The Jackrabbit's a nice build as well.
With Douglas,
for Halo Wars 2 is really, really cool. It's not accurate because it's based on the concept art. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a weird little thing that it's created for Halo Wars 2, but it's also bizarre that it's absent. Mongoose are completely absent from Halo Wars 2, and I don't know why they made the decision. There's got to be some decision that was made by 343 at some point.
Yeah. I wonder if they ever recovered it from the Ark, and it was technology it was used on the Ark because it was different terrain. Or maybe the Spirit of Fire cobbled them together with bits of vehicles that they had left from the last battle.
Mm-hmm. There might be an entry actually somewhere in the
that'd be cool.
Phoenix Logs. I should look that up.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear that. So we're going to continue with you, Matt, because you have bought I was going to use a bad word there.
too many
sets. So you also picked up Skiff Intercept, which is one that I feel got quite a mixed reception. Like, a lot of people weren't necessarily sure it was a very Halo design. So how does it feel now you've got it in hand?
I actually really like it. When it first came out and I first saw it, I was going to say probably my least favorite, but it's really grown on me. It's, like I said, with everything about Halo, Halo Infinite, it seems kind of like a mashup of different designs and variations within Halo. So this one kind of feels like, it just feels like the Ultra Prowler or something. I really like it. The only thing I'll say about this set is that I'm not a huge fan of the cannon or the the cylinder that the figure sits in for the gun. It's a little tall, and it looks just like it's like a giant cylinder. So it looks like it wasn't as refined as the other parts of the build. It's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. When I first looked at it, I thought it was going to be extremely long and narrow, but it's actually pretty wide and beefy. Yeah. So it definitely has like that brute like feel to it. One of the really cool things that I like about it, though, is that in the front, it has pieces that overlap like metal, so it looks jagged like some teeth. So like that really screams brute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screams brute to me. But so the figures that come with this set, which has 452 pieces, you get two brute warriors, a grunt, and the is it the
Mark 7?
Mark 7, yeah. So the Mark 7. So when I was talking about last episode about having a Mark 7 in the Chief colors, this is pretty close onto it. So, I actually really like the Mark 7. And so seeing it in that green army color, really nice. So I really like this set. I probably am going to buy more just because it's a really awesome army builder. I love the brutes that come with it.
Yeah.
When I first...
The brutes are really good.
Yeah, they're awesome.
A lot. They might be my favorite brutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I first opened it, I freaked out a little bit because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm missing pieces, but really just one side of the brute comes armored and the other side isn't. So I thought like there was two shoulder pads, but just one, it's the broader shoulder pad. And then just one thigh armor piece. So it looks, at first glance, you're like, oh no, I'm missing pieces, but it actually kind of looks kind of neat.
Oh, cool.
It kind of reminds me of like Greek soldiers that would just have armor on one side just because they were in like a phalanx or something like that. So I think that's kind of neat that like brutes are just going to show you one side to the armor.
That's...
And they don't really care about the side that's not going to be facing the enemy because they're not going to be retreating.
I think there's something more there. I think that the Banished aren't doing as well as they were in Halo Wars 2 and they're using patchwork armor. Because obviously we'd speculated with Hyperius. But if you look at the figure in the UNSC Spartan armor pack, that's got complete armor. Same with the Warrior in the Hero series. But then the one that's in the Dollar General free pack has got like a different colored shoulder plate. So I wonder if maybe they're using like different pieces of gear and stuff and just kind of patchworking it all together.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, Hyperius is using Locke's helmet as a shoulder pad, so that must be really, really bad.
Yeah, I think I've heard that theory before, and I'm into that. So I think that's a cool idea.
I like it, yeah.
Even Aatrox had bits of UNSC armor incorporated into his, so I don't know. It might just be that they, and I've seen I think some people have done some screen grabs, there's like a brute holding a bulldog.
Yeah, there is.
So they're using human technology, so it might not be that they're hard up, it might just be that they like human stuff also.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What did you think of the build itself, Matt, and the skiff? I just built mine last night, so it's fresh in my mind.
I liked it. I don't think I had any problems with it. I built it quite a bit ago, so
yeah.
I don't think I had a problem with it. It wasn't super complicated. There's a couple of parts that I felt were a little flimsy when you're putting it together, but once you snap everything in, it works pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was underwhelmed with the build right away, and it was a little finicky, but then towards the middle of the build, and once you start to put on the sleds and then build the turret, like the little device that controls the turret, and then build the weird little seat that you put the guy in. It really all comes together really nicely. So by the time you're almost done, it really starts to click. It's like, oh, this is a pretty cool little thing. And we're still not sure if this is going to be in-game. This could be just a concept vehicle.
It's confirmed to be in-game, but it's not pilotable.
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah, gotcha. So is it going to operate like a Phantom? It's just going to drop troops off and then skirt away?
I would say, in terms of context, it kind of feels like it may be, with the troop bay design in particular and the way that middle section works, it almost feels like it takes some design cues from, I'm blanking, but the big...
The Shadow?
No, not the Shadow.
No, that's because that's what I thought when I was building it. I was like, this is kind of like the Shadow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The one that's in Halo 4. Although it does take... Yeah, it definitely feels
Halo
like the...
4.
Shadow, but I mean, in terms of the kind of exposed sides, It feels a lot like the big ship that disables the mammoth in some ways.
The Lich?
Yes, the Lich.
Oh.
I can kind of see some design language from that in it.
Yeah. I mean, the Liches are huge comparatively, but yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, though, because there are some parts on the Lich that have open areas for turrets, and yeah, the sides are a little exposed. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Colin, did you have anything else you wanted to add since you built it last night?
No, I mean, I like the details that there's like some exhaust in the back, and the way that, just the little details that make it feel like a brute vehicle. They did a really good job. And again, that stuff doesn't, that doesn't come into the build until much later. So, you know, to start, it's just kind of ho-hum, and then I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Okay, I see how it's... how they're really bringing that detail forward. Oh, another little point is the driver's seat. There's the two little printed pieces that are like a display.
Yeah, I was going to mention those. Those look awesome.
Yeah, like it's a unique piece. I don't know how to describe it, but it's more or less the monitor for the driver.
Yeah.
And there's these two little tiny prints on it. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like that. I mean, it's kind of neat that Mega's putting all this detail into a vehicle that we probably won't be able to drive or see, like the cockpit area. So I think that's kind of nice that they're like, man, this is what it looks like. So it kind of adds a little more to that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, this lore-wise, oh, this might be what the cockpit looks like.
That was something I always liked with the Spirit build. When I saw the first review of it, that there was actually quite a detailed cockpit in that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Because we've never seen the inside of that.
No, exactly. Cool. So we'll keep moving forward, and Colin, we'll stick with you. So obviously you've got the Forerunner ring installation recently, which is a little bit of a different build, to be honest. This kind of feels like it harkens a lot towards the structural builds that Mega have been experimenting with in the Game of Thrones line. What do you make of this one?
Well, they're clearly hearing a demand for collector type pieces or shelf pieces, and it's interesting if you go back and listen to our, you know, what sets do we think we're going to get. We talked about this very... I think I talked about this exact
but
set.
But where's the librarian?
Having zero knowledge.
I think it was also I think it was also theorized to have them all connect together.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we had Sal on that show, and he talked about what you know, he built off my idea. Because my original idea was just this, where it's a portion of the ring, and I'd gone to Outpost Discovery last year, and they had something like this on display. I was like, oh, that'd be really cool. And they created it. And then, yeah, Sal was like, well, what if they can all connect? And they can all connect. So we can actually can do a complete ring. It would be, I think the way that the angles are, what did he say? I think it takes like four and a half, five sets to make a full ring.
It kind of throws it off a bit.
It's not... it's not scaled perfectly. When you do build, you know, if there, images are out there of the people that have done that, and it's like a little stout for what the ring should be, right? Mm-hmm. And I just recently replayed Halo Combat Evolved, and in the big, I forget which room it is, but the big room where you can see the ring.
Yeah,
exactly. You see the ring, and the ring is gigantic, you know, and like so the scale isn't like that, but I'm really happy with it. I think they did a fantastic job with it. The you know how they portray the little trees, and they portray some desert and some water action, and then they have a mountain on it, and then the other thing that I couldn't tell what it was in the imagery that I saw before I got it in my hands. Is there's little floating pieces around.
Yeah. I was curious about that.
Yeah, that's why you use the clear rods in and around. So like the very top of it, I was like, what is that? What is that thing there? Because I almost thought that was how that was their original intention for connecting it to other sets. It's like that would be weird. But that's actually just a floating little chunk of the ring out there, because this ring has been, you know, ejected or destroyed as a part of the you know, the battle that took place there. So I'm really happy with it. They have the structure that's in the kind of in the center. It actually is a blue rod. So it's almost makes you think that you could go up that, you know, it's like a, you know, one of those transport beams that our alien.
Yeah. One of those lifts
use. Yeah. Like a lift.
Is this the structure that everyone's been theorizing might be one of the Palaces of Pain?
Yeah, it's the same. I think that's their take on the structure that you can see in all the back of the demo and the art.
It looks
the
like key it. Art.
Yeah. So, Palace of Pain is a thing that exists, and it's, you know, people aren't sure if that's what this is or just some mysterious structure that we're gonna visit at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, overall very happy. I think they did a great job. I don't think, and I didn't go back and listen to our show, but I do remember asking Sal if he thought, like, because it's six studs across, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, six studs across, and then some finishing pieces on the side of there. I don't, you know, if they made it smaller than this, I don't think it would have been able to get the detail. And then if you made it bigger, it just would have been more expensive and hard to really turn into a, you know, a ring that a lot of people would have done. So I think they did a great job. And the stand's really cool too. The stand's nice and classy. It's just kind of a black, you know, with the flat top pieces and then a little plaque, I guess, plaque piece that you can stick on the front.
Nice.
I am interested. So the way that LEGO do their direct consumer sets, which are basically their collector sets as well, they tend to include exclusive minifigures. So do you think that an exclusive minifigure would have added more value to this set as well? Or do you think it's got enough to kind of stand on its own merits?
Yeah, I think Matt and I had the same thought on it. He had just finished building his last night, and I think I'm not sure what figure I would include, but it would have been, I think it would have been a nice addition somewhere just to have a spot for a figure.
Or maybe just a monitor.
Yeah, a monitor would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And we haven't,
you could have done the Exuberant with the purple piece.
Well, we haven't seen the monitor, the Zeta Halo monitor. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So that monitor's been in hiding.
This one's just called Forerunner Installation, so you wouldn't necessarily have to name it Zeta. You could just say this was Alpha Halo.
But, I mean, they're probably trying to tie it into the
game. Yeah, for sure.
Into the game.
I mean, Halo Infinite's on the little key card thing in front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and we have enough Chiefs. Like, Chief would make sense, but we have so many Chiefs in this line. So, it would have been nice to get a figure of some sort.
Librarian, man, I'm telling you.
I know. They put the librarian right there.
That would have been a
complete spoiler.
Yeah. Cool. Did you have anything you wanted to add onto this one, Matt?
Yeah. A couple thoughts. There is one thing that I say, I'll hearken to everything that Colin said. I really, really appreciate the level of the detail and design that they added in. There is one thing that I think just kind of makes it a little drawback for me is that when the segments connect, and maybe it's because I built this wrong, but there's kind of a little bit of a cliffhanger on the metal, or I would say like the outer shell of the ring. So it feels like a stair step between each segment. It doesn't feel flush. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of hope that it was more of a circle. So here it kind of looks like something that's made out of segments instead of it just being a complete circle. And then on the bottom, I would have probably have liked the outer shell plate to also be the width of six studs instead of four, because then I think you can see it would have covered up the pieces going out. You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yep.
But other than that, I love it. I love that you're able to build this together. I think that's such a unique idea. And I was going to ask, though, I know a lot of people have already put them together. Are they doing that as the least amount that you can take to put this together, or is it that's as many as you actually can?
I think that's what makes a circle.
Yeah, based on how they designed it, I think that's the only way to do it.
Can you add more, though? Can you add more segments? So maybe the ring is, you know what I mean? Like, because I know they're saying five sets make a circle, but can you add like 10 and then have it be a wider circle?
I think it's because of the angle of each of the segments, like you were saying, because it's made up with segments. It's kind of set so it would only fit to that number.
Okay.
You might be able to play around with it to make more fit, but you'd probably have to do some serious like engineering adjustments to make those dimensions.
It'd be rad if somebody did a bigger, like more to scale version of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody will.
Signature series, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, they might do a set of a full Halo ring if this set does well. You never know.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that one will come with the librarian.
Yeah, or our third Didact trigger.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I won't say no to more Didact, so.
No, I want a version without his helmet on. That would be awesome. Yeah,
see those vampire teeth? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, building off of that, Matt, why don't you tell us about the building box?
The building box. All right, the building box comes with, let's see, 450 pieces. You get quite a bit. Cool. So
does it feel like a lot? Like, does it feel like a good amount?
Because
it's $30, right?
Yeah, it is $30. It depends on what you're looking for. So, like, if you're looking for just straight bricks, you only get 9. So, like, if you're looking for camo green bricks, you get 9. You get 9 sand-colored bricks. So, just on a brick level, I'd say...
Oh, geez.
I'd say it's not too much if you want to build something, but if you're looking for just kind of adding a little flourish of terrain, it's excellent.
But you could supplement that, the bricks, with those other, what are they called? Just bins of blocks that they have?
Yeah, you could, but there's an issue there. The blocks that come in those sets are the old style green from way back in the day. Yeah.
But it does also come with the 2x2 brick, like the square brick. Mm. So you get the rectangle, you get the square, you get a couple of those. One of the really cool things about this set is that it comes with a UNSC data pad. And I know Brickman was saying that he was looking for sets that carry data screens for his, let me see, it's the longsword, right?
Yeah.
He's doing the longsword, so it'd be kind of... So I was thinking maybe that could help him out with the... I know there's only one, but it's nice to see. It's a pretty wide data pad. It's a big piece,
yeah.
And it's just got a lot of little things. Like, obviously, I said you can build a mongoose, and I think you can even do a pelican. Yeah, you can do a pelican. I actually haven't built anything with this because I think the... In my opinion, I think the build are kind of like optional, like, oh, this is what you could do, but this to me is a piece set. You know, you grab a bunch of pieces with it. And so it's got a lot of different things. I love that they included terrain or the sand platforms. And I would buy a set if it just sold those of all different sizes.
Yeah, just the terrain pack set.
I would love it. And so I love that they included that. They have tons of weapons. You get an EVA Spartan and a Gungnir.
That's a third Gungnir.
I know. It's they just want to hear me mess up and have to edit 8 times. Yeah.
They're out for me. They're coming.
Mjolnir. That's pretty amazing.
I'm just going to nickname him from now on and call him that guy.
Gunner.
Yeah. Oddball.
But Gunnery Sergeant
Bob. So it's got a lot of nice little pieces, I think, included in this. So it's definitely a set you want to buy if you just want to maybe customize some of your other sets, or maybe you just want to have. Yeah, I could see you could buy as many as you want with this set, and it's never really a drawback to have multiple of these pieces. Yeah. So I love it. I'm looking forward to building. Cool. Like I said, I'm probably gonna incorporate these pieces into a UNSC Firebase. On my mock.
Wicked. Yeah, I'll look forward to seeing that. What's the weapon variety like here? Because I remember looking at the instructions and it looked like you got quite a few.
Yeah, you get an SMG, Bulldog Shotgun, an OG Energy Sword, Battle Rifle without the scope, a Assault Rifle, you get the Not Brute Shot, Tactical Shotgun.
Cool.
And then you get a Spanker, 2 grenades, and you also get the 2 muzzle fire pieces.
Nice. Okay, cool. Wow. So this is kind of like almost a nice little armory pack as well if you're looking for more weapons. Maybe, say, for example, if you've got a lot of the marine from the blind bags and you want to get some different weapons in there, this might be a good way to go.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Plus, I would say it's kind of a shame that they only included 1 banished weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, and you also get a sidekick pistol.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, but only 1 banished weapon, which is weird. Yeah. And of course, it's the one we don't know the name about.
Well, I mean, they've kind of branded this more broadly as a building box, but I imagine we could see a banished version of it in the future with maybe a banished printed console and some pieces like that.
Mega, get this man a job.
Honestly, Mega, if you're listening, I will work for 3 sets. I'm happy to do that. Just hit me up, too. Yeah?
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's your payment for the week, Tom. 3 pelicans.
Right. I'm done. I'm sold. I'm yours.
I do it for 1.
Matt, let's not be competing, lad. Yeah,
it's a package deal. If you get Tom, you have to have me work there too.
Yeah, we come interconnected, and you have to hire Colin as the boss because that's how these things work.
Yeah, we'd be lost without him.
Is this one that you've been able to pick up yet, Colin? Because I'm always losing track of how much you've got.
No, I have seen it on sale. I'm waiting a little bit. I bought quite a bit this last month, so okay. I'm just waiting for the old credit card to flip over.
Yep,
and then I'll add this to my collection. But I'll probably grab a couple.
Cool. Okay. Sweet. Yeah.
I like it. It's a good set.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about something you do have, Colin? The energy sword, and this is one that Krista's got as well.
Yeah, Krista built this live on stream, so go check that out on her Twitch channel.
Yeah,
Is it Conan_XD?
I think so.
There might be another underscore under there, but check that out.
It's dangerous to give her sharp objects.
This thing, I'm really happy with this. The fact that they created it is amazing. And I'm trying to think, this is probably the wrong way to start, but could they, now that I have this in my hands, I'm like, could they build a assault rifle out of blocks?
Okay, that would be cool.
I don't think they would, but somebody's probably gonna do that at some point. But so building this, I think it's a special build. The hilt is probably the most tedious.
Yeah.
And there's just lots of little pieces that you need to put on the hilt in order to then apply the silver pieces on the side.
Yeah.
So that gets a little bit tedious, but it is the detailing is fantastic on the hilt once you're all done with it. And then it's very satisfying to build up the energy with the blue translucent pieces.
Yeah.
And it's a little weird because they're not, it's like a mixture, right? Like some of them are darker and some of them are lighter and almost completely transparent. But, when it's all put together, it just makes sense. Like it looks really good.
Do they kind of do that deliberately so it gets like the shimmering energy effect?
Probably, probably. I have seen people customize this already and put in lights.
Really?
Like there's some bricks that have lights in it, and so they've been able to light it up, and that's cool. And there is some build up around the hilt on kind of towards the base of the energy sword, so it does have a little bit of dimension down towards the bottom as well, instead of just being this one big thin piece. But it feels sturdy, and you can swing it around a little bit, not that you'd really want to. but it's they did a really good job with this. And,
nice.
And it's got the shaping of it, it feels very much like the energy sword. If you stood far away and you didn't know it was made out of bricks, you'd say, oh, that's a cool energy sword. So they did a really good job with it.
Cool.
The way that it sits into the stand too is pretty neat. It has just kind of these two arm pieces in the stand, and it just uses, there's like this one little slanted piece that is kind of jetting out a little bit, and it just kind of, that's what hooks in to like for the base, for the near the hilt to the stand itself, and so that's what keeps it in place. And then the other arm out towards the thinner side of the sword just kind of holds it in place. So yeah, overall they did a really good job with this. It's a great collector piece. And again, so this is the second that we've talked about of the more like the shelf display pieces.
Yeah.
And then there is also a helmet that we haven't been able to get our hands on.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're really focusing on the collector with this wave, which I'm super happy with. And there's plenty of other vehicle and combat unit sets that they have as well. So
I wanted to ask, is it easy to detach the energy portion from the hilt?
Oh, Matt, you thought of the same question.
Yeah, because I just wanted to, just wondering if it's not easy.
No, you have to, it's buried in there. You build the hilt right away, and then you leave part of the hilt open on one side so that you can then attach the energy portions on either side, and then you kind of build the hilt back up on top of that. And then there's some other raised pieces that you put on it to give it some stability. Yeah, so it's in there pretty well. Are you thinking about like an animation somehow?
Well, I was just thinking like if you just wanted to like hold the hilt, and if you just wanted to like, I don't know, maybe you were making a video of it and you just wanted to like turn it on or turn it off as like a stop motion.
That'd be cool.
But
that would be cool.
To be honest,
it'd be a pain though.
The first thing that I thought of when I saw the set was not the energy sword. I'm like, oh, that would, those pieces would make an awesome energy bridge.
Matt, or a river. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I think you can use this as the display piece, but then I want to grab a second one just to have these, all these beautiful blue pieces in it. Yeah.
Just add an energy bridge to my mock. It's never going to stop growing. It's rose red.
When can we come visit?
Yeah. It's just going to be on display at the next
Outpost Discovery.
Outpost Discovery, yeah, exactly.
I mean, we say that. We could do Podcast Evolve Live. You never know. I was gonna ask you, Colin, did you notice if there were many new pieces when you were building this?
There are a couple on the hilt that I haven't seen before. Yeah. But for the most part, it looks like everything that they used was already in there, you know, in their bag. So there's a couple of unique ones. And again, I don't have every set, so there may be. But kind of on the edges of the hilt, there's some rounded pieces. And then if you look at the picture, there's a little button piece.
Okay,
I don't know what you call those. That goes on top of the piece that I think is also unique. So those rounded pieces towards the sides there.
Cool. Sweet. So with that, we will move on to arguably the biggest collector's piece of this year, at least, which is, of course, the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Now, I'm going to try and not get too upset while you guys gush about this, because I did email Mattel the other day, and I think mine is about 3 weeks out, so I'm kind of, like, very patiently waiting for it, and very excited for when it does turn up. But Matt, why don't you take it away? Because you were the first guy to get this, and I think you were pretty excited about it.
I was. I mean, right off the bat, when you saw that this set was announced, I thought for sure, I'm like, they have knocked it out of the park. Of course, again, we're going with an even greater focus on Chief. So if you were upset that you got a bunch of Chiefs in the Infinite line, well, hold your beer, because this guy is going to give you a ton more Chiefs.
Right.
But it's, now I want to say that I think Colin brought up this idea
of
a Chief pack of all the different variations of Chief.
Did I in that same show that we were talking about?
I think
about?
You did.
It's a hero series.
What it was. It was. We'll still give you credit though, because you called it. Yeah. So Mega Construct was watching this, listening to this episode, and they're like,
clearly,
just gave us everything. The ring segment, the AA gun, everything.
We need to do this more often, guys.
Yeah, you guys are all welcome. but I have to say, I love this set. I actually didn't open mine. So I'm leaving the figures in there because, to me, I have enough Chiefs and I like it just as a shelf piece.
Yeah.
But there are...
I couldn't bring myself to open it yet.
I know.
I just got it yesterday. So I was just like, I can't do it yet. It's too beautiful.
Arguably, because obviously my favorite Chief armor is Halo 4, Halo 5 design.
Yeah.
There is a figure, and it seems like they do a variation of the color. So you have the Halo 2 and Halo 3, and one is a green, and then one's a gray. And then with the Halo 4 and 5, you have one, the same green and the same gray. But it's like a gray, I would say. Maybe it's like a steel green. But I will say that the Halo 4, 5 version of the steel green is arguably the best paint color I've seen on Chief ever. He looks awesome. And of course, I can't get him out from behind the plastic, but I'm over there putting in the little light card, and I'm like, ding! Cortana looks awesome as well.
I think they did a good job with her, and that's one of the AIs that we have, Cortana that we have, but with some paint applications.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super good.
It's the most detailed micro action figure they've done.
Oh, for Cortana?
No, as in like micro. I don't
like
mean
double
like
micro,
just
yeah.
Just figures, yeah.
Double
like
micro.
The really small ones.
All right, I've gushed enough. Colin, what do you think about it?
No, I don't. I was settling in, man. I wanted you to keep going. One of the first things that I noticed is that the weight of the box, it's good and hefty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like this is a nice collector piece. And hopefully some of our, a number of our listeners have it. If you weren't able to get it. Hopefully you're able to track it down for, you know, for a reasonable price. Yeah. But it's something that it just feels special. I don't know, that's too gushy, but having this and having played all the games recently with Mission Debrief, and then having this as like a memento to that, right? You know, like this is each version of the Chief,
yeah,
and how he was presented in the game. That I like all of the weapon choices,
yeah,
except for the sword. I feel like this, they could have done something different on the Halo 5 Chief.
Yeah, I agree.
That being his signature weapon, maybe, and maybe they just ran out.
You don't like the paint application?
No, just the fact that that's the weapon that they chose.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because the paint application's amazing on it.
Yeah, the paint applications of the actual weapon is fantastic, and all the weapons. You know, mm-hmm. You got the Halo 1 with the Magnum, which makes total sense.
Yep.
And then, you know, the dual-wield SMGs for Halo 2. And then you have the Splazer for Halo 3, and that thing is gorgeous.
I really like that, but I thought it was a bit of a weird choice. Like
the Splazer?
Really? Yeah, I just feel like when I think of Halo 3, I kind of think, again, like you, because I remember you saying this is your go-to combo, Colin. Mm-hmm. I'm literally assault rifle, battle rifle, so I expected it to be a battle rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time that it was in the game. So
maybe yeah, I think that's why they went with it.
Yeah,
I will say I was kind of missing a traditional AR though. I mean,
yeah,
I was kind of hoping for that. Yeah,
that's the one thing that they didn't include. So then, what Halo 4
railgun. Is
the railgun,
yeah,
and then Halo 5 is the energy sword, and then it's the new battle rifle, right, for Infinite.
So no, it's the assault rifle for Infinite.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the new assault rifle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which I love, I prefer OG assault rifle, to be honest.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe if there was anything they could have added is maybe a couple more. Because, I mean, the display piece itself is great with the labeling of all the different Mjolnir armor. They don't label the weapon. They just have the weapons, you know, displayed. But maybe they could have had, like, a little armory right behind the two Chiefs that are in front with, like, a couple of the other signature weapons. Something like that. I mean,
yeah.
But again, not complaining at all. This thing is fantastic, and you know the fact that you get your little Cortana chip, and it's well painted, and it's it actually is a brick. You could use it. You could stick it to some bricks on the bottom.
I know, isn't that neat?
Yeah, that's super cool. So yeah, super happy. Nothing really but good things to say about this thing.
One thing I will touch on just really quick is the box, because I know we gushed a bunch about when Yan was on, we gushed about the 2015 SDC.
Yep.
And that's an amazing box. But this is a really cool box, too, because not only do you have that kind of Chief armor chest plate as the cover, but when you take that off, there's all this like blue, very intricate lines, and it has UNSC abbreviated on top. And so it kind of feels like you're in like Cortana's mind or something like that. It's this weird kind of thing of like if you look at where Chief and them are, they're in this blue, it looks like Cortana's colors. So I kind of find that kind of neat that you have like inside of Chief is Cortana and then Chiefs are inside of that. So it's like this really kind of meta thing about Chief and Cortana.
That's a cool idea. I like that. I like that idea. I see it more as like a museum, like you're going through almost even Outpost Discovery. You're
walking through,
and then there's this big display of all of Chief's armor and how it's evolved throughout the throughout the years, and then you know a little Cortana in the middle. So
I think they should have included a Cortana for every iteration as well. Yeah. Now I'm just being greedy, but like Halo 1 Cortana.
Oh, because you could have done like a purple classic Halo 2 one. Oh, man. That would have been
awesome. Ooh, and then Rampant Cortana with the red.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We can always enhance. They need to leave a little wiggle room for
next year's exclusive. Master Chief Collection Mark II.
Next year's, it's just going to be a Hall of Cortana with one little tiny Chief.
Oh, I was hoping next year would be the Lock Collection.
Well, at least you can include Hyperius on that just to make sure you get that variant.
It'll be his death scene where Hyperius murders it with an the gravity hammer.
Real talk though. If I could pitch a SDC exclusive, I would do the All Hail the Conquering Hero. I would have the statue, and then I would put Chief and Locke in the set, and I'd have it like like a statue build. Okay, go ahead.
Well, off the back of that, me and you are on the same wavelength again, mate, because I was going to say they could do a collector's series of, like, dioramas. So you could have, like, Locke taking out Jewel Emdama, yeah, for example. You could have Chief being lifted into the air by the Didact in Halo 4. You could
have... this is how we get a regret.
The Mausoleum of the Arbiter.
Oh, no.
You could have Chief punching regret in the neck.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and you could have the Arbiter versus Cesar Refamir. You could do so many cool things with it. So there you go, Mega. We're giving you more free ideas.
Well, Tom's regret would have to be Mercy, so...
It would. It would just be mislabeled.
Mislabeled? It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's truth. I think he just dropped out of the call.
Is this silence awkward yet?
Well, don't say anything you'll regret.
Okay, so since I can't join in the group gushing session, I will be gushing on camera for you guys. So do stay tuned to our YouTube channel, because we will have a review of this set coming out a little bit later this year, which will give you an up-close look at each of the chief figures that's in this pack.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. So I'm going to just very, very briefly list the sets that we haven't looked at today, and we will be covering on a future show. And then I'll touch on the sets that we have covered already. I'm probably just going to breeze through this since we're kind of getting close to the hour and a half mark so far. But I do just want to float one very, very quick idea by you guys quickly. That I had the other day. So obviously Pelican Inbound, the set, is modeled upon the Pelican in Halo Infinite, and so that means it hasn't really got a troop bay. How would you guys feel if Mega were to do something for some of their sets where, say for example, it could be a vehicle where it's got two different variants, if maybe they were to release a Pelican upgrade pack that came with like a couple of figures and some seats and maybe different style missile pods that you could interchange with the base build? Do you think that's something that could work?
I love it. I love it. Yes. Yes.
I think it's a cool idea. I think it would be hard. It would need to somehow be a standalone set too. Yeah.
Well, wait. Actually, I got an idea.
Go ahead.
Have it as a building block set with the option of using those pieces to upgrade your Pelican.
There you go.
Cool. Sweet.
You're welcome, Mega.
Nice one. Cool. That's awesome. Obviously, that is one of the sets that we haven't looked at, Pelican Inbound. Our friend Brickman117 has done a fantastic, what's it called? What's the word?
Speed build.
What am I looking for? Speed build. That's what I'm looking for.
Speed boost.
He'll probably have his review out by the time though this publishes too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd imagine he will. So do keep an eye out for that. It gives you a really good look at the building process that goes into that, and obviously we will gush over that as soon as we can. We will be looking at the army builders when we can, so the UNSC Spartan Armor Pack and the UNSC Marine Gear Pack, and also the two Dollar General exclusives. We will look at the Master Chief helmet, and we will also look at the blind bags. So that will be our next Infinite episode. We don't know when that will be at the moment, because obviously things like the blind bags, the armor packs, we don't have an ETA on their release. But do make sure you're following Podcast Evolved on Twitter, and also following the three of us, because that's probably where we'll keep you in the loop with what we're picking up ahead of the show. In terms of things that we've covered so far, on our last Infinite episode, we were lucky enough to be joined by Gabe again, who is, of course, G Customs. And he took a look at the MC versus Brute Warrior pack. So the two pack, that was like a really awkward voice crack, but I'm just going to brush it off. Matt took a look at the Recon Getaway. Colin took a look at the Banshee Breakout. I took a look at Warthog Rally. Both Matt and Gabe looked at the Heroes. And we also got Colin's thoughts on Defense Point Showdown. So lots and lots of infinite goodness out there for you guys to enjoy. So do go back and check out that episode as well.
We'll have to do, because all of these sets that we just talked about, this is the first wave, right?
Yeah.
Like, So we'll have to do some sort of a recap, a show of our overall thoughts once we have everything. Just talking about that. And you guys have more experience than I do about, you know, previous waves since I've been catching up recently. But it'll be fun to kind of do a retrospective after everything's out.
Yeah. In terms of full 2020, this will be it until 2021. So this will be all of the sets we'll get. It just seems like they're being staggered release, which is something that they've not really done before. So it's quite interesting seeing that side of it. And maybe if we ever get the chance to chat to Jan again in the future, that might be something that we could ask about. Is that kind of staggered release something that will be happening more often? But yeah, so with all of that said, is there anything that we haven't covered in our longest episode yet, guys?
Well, once I cut out all the times that I pronounced Gungnir wrong, we should be right where we're
We're going to be about 15 minutes, right?
Yeah. One quick shout out that I wanted to shout out was Brickman117 did a really awesome Warthog review, and so did you, Tom. But
Thank you, sir.
And I'm blaming Brickman117. I already had the Warthog, and I just watched it to get his thoughts on it. And after I watched his review, I'm like, you know, I could use another Warthog. So it's all your fault that I got another Warthog, and I'm probably going to get another one because I'm addicted.
I actually quickly want to shout out a couple of people on the Mega Constructs forums. There is Zari81Setter_Detdetta. I really hope I've said that right. SpartanZ19. And there's a few other people. Is it Evadami, I think? Yeah, Evadami. There's a few people on there who are really cool, and they always show support for the show, but also always comment when I put toy picks up on there as well. So thank you for your support. And again, guys, if you're listening to this show and you're looking for anywhere to connect with Mega Constructs fans, the forums are a really, really good place to do that over on megaconstructs.com. Obviously, there is Mega Constructs Unboxed now, the app that you can download, and it's a really, really fun way of seeing what other people are getting up to. You can submit set ideas on there, you can ask Mega questions. There's loads of really, really good opportunities for interaction on there, so do check that out because I enjoy using the forums. Colin, was there anything that you wanted to add?
You know, I found a guy, it looks like it's a channel called Toa of Ultimate Doom on YouTube.
Yes.
And it looks like he's having some fun doing some reviews.
Nice.
He's got a good tone. And so, yeah, I would say just give him a look. I haven't dug in too deep, but he's been on the Halo train for a little bit.
Yep.
Sounds like he doesn't necessarily play the games at all, really. But he's into the figures and collecting. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, have a look at that channel. Again, it's Toa of Ultimate Doom, all one word.
We will talk after because I know him.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. He's a cool guy. Ooh. He's been around in the community for a fair bit as well.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Well, with that all said then, I think that is it for our episode. So before we go, Matt, where can people find you?
All right. You guys can find me at Pure Genius Lego on the tweets. You can also find me there on YouTube. And you can watch a bunch of videos on the Podcast Evolved YouTube channel. Got a lot of stop motion up there. More to come. Again, thank you guys so much for all the very nice comments. And shout out to the Sacred Icon Halo Boys, Josh and Brian. You guys are awesome. John on the Drift, you continue to be amazing.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for all your comments and support. And Photon. Photon, you're awesome as well. Thank you guys so much. So cheers.
Sweet. And Colin, last time we spoke, Page4 at Google. Have you done any searching?
No, I wasn't even on Page4. Dude. I was like, I had gotten to Page4 and I still wasn't anywhere to be seen. So,
well, have you done any search engine optimization since we last spoke?
I haven't optimized. No, so I'm further down somewhere.
Okay.
Someday I'll find myself.
In this day and age, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, that's true. So Perkline on Twitter is probably the best way to hit me directly. Otherwise, I'm in Discord, so you can find me
in the
Podcast Evolved Discord.
I don't know how to work Discord. I'm very rarely in the Podcast Evolved Discord, but I'm there.
Just pop in every once in a while. They're constantly having conversations, so just pop in, say hello.
I love it.
Then
I do actually. I want to say sorry to Desudo.
Desudo.
Did I say that right? Colin.
Desudo.
Yes, there we go. Desudo. There we go. I'm sorry for mucking up your name, firstly, but I am really sorry that I didn't pick up your message on Discord until the other day, because he had messaged me about where to buy mega sets. And obviously, as everyone knows, I barely checked Discord, so I logged in and was like, crap, I should have replied to that a few days ago. If you haven't seen it, I have sent you a reply. Mm-hmm. I think I put a link into some of the Amazon listings, maybe. But if not, you're always welcome to hit me up on Twitter, or you can ask for my email address and shoot me an email now and then if you ever have any questions. I'm cool with that because you're a cool guy, so just let me know. And with all that said, you guys know where to find me, Tom_Jurassic on Instagram and Twitter. And also check the Podcast Evolved Facebook group, because I do post some of my toy photography in there as well. So with all that said, I think that will do it for the show. Thanks for joining Builds with Blocks. If you like the show, do feel free to support Podcast Evolved on Patreon. And until the next time, Evolved.
Evolved.
Evolved.